We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I'm the host, as always. And joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing this evening?
Nervous, dude. I'm a little nervous about this game. Watch Jordan Love face the Steelers. And I'll tell you what, man, I didn't expect that. And I don't think anybody even really talked about it, maybe because they lost. But I'm a little worried about this one.
Yeah, the vibes in Green Bay are a little weird. I listened to Kiefer and the Beats, the Athletic Football Show feed. Zach Kiefer is doing interviews every single week of beat writers from the Athletic, every single team throughout the season. They had the Packers one on this week, and he was saying that everybody in Green Bay is talking about tanking for Marvin Harrison, and the team is terrible, and all this stuff, and how poorly the offense looked against the Steelers. And I watched that tape, and I don't agree with that assessment. So it's gonna be interesting. We'll dive into this matchup more heavily today. We obviously did a decent amount of this yesterday on the Chargers feed. So if you guys missed that, please go check that out. We did a little bit of an overreaction Monday on a Wednesday segment too. So let us know what you guys think. We had some good conversations about Keenan Allen, Rashawn Gary, the offense figuring things out. So let us know what you think. Before we dive into this matchup, we do have some news to get to. The Chargers have made some moves, obviously. With Chris Rumpf going on IR and some tight end issues as well, which we've talked a lot about on this show. But first and foremost, Chris Rumpf on injured reserve with the foot fracture that he sustained during warmups, taking his place. We were kind of curious to see how the Chargers would address that spot. And they have gone out and signed Justin Hollins from the Giants practice squad. Justin Hollins was drafted in Denver when Brandon Staley was in Denver, followed him to Los Angeles, and then has kind of bounced over a little bit between the Packers practice squad recently, who also run the Vic Fangio defense. So, Tyler, your thoughts here as we get some resolution on the Chris Rumpf front.
What a bummer, man. Getting hurt in warmups sucks. Ending your season because of warmups absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
I will say, in terms of just swapping out one player for another, seems fine to me. You know, if you're just looking at him statistically throughout his career, Hollins hasn't been, you know, there's no 50 pressure guy in here, I don't think. But he will be enough. And he's the fourth guy. I'm assuming he'll be active, but I don't know how much he'll play. I think it's a solid signing. It's unfortunate that the Chargers couldn't really find anything from the other edge rushers that they kept on the practice squad, I should say. So whether it was Brevin Allen, whether it was Andrew Farmer, it was sort of Ty Shelby for a bit. Then he got released, I believe. Couldn't really find a guy there. Needed someone to be a veteran presence right away. And so I get it. They weren't getting anything when they tried Allen, when they tried Farmer. So go for somebody you know. Once again, Brandon Staley gets one of his guys. But this one, I think, makes sense. I think going to someone like Hollins makes a bit more sense than maybe going back to Jeremiah Tauchu. We joked that it would be someone from 2016 this year. It wasn't, but it was a familiar face for Brandon Staley.
Yeah, I think this is fine. Shout out to Gavino Borges from Chargers Wire. He's been talking about the Chargers getting Justin Hollins for quite some time. You know, it's his version of Nick Van Ant, I guess. For what it's worth, Justin Hollins does also train with Coach Ed. So the Chargers are continuing to stockpile Coach Ed proteges, if you will. I think you look at Justin Hollins again, he's been kind of a back end of the roster, practice squad kind of player. There's been some stretches of some decent play. You look at his performances at the back end of this past season for the Packers in 2022, you know, some decent production here and there. You know, he had like two pressures against the Falcons and a sack and on like 15 pass rush snaps. So, you know, it's nothing inspiring, obviously, but it's not like, you know, I don't want to pile on the guy, but it's not like Chris Rumpf was lighting it up either. Honestly, I think the biggest net positive here is that it's just going to be like the three main guys and they're just going to roll with it. I think, you know, those Chris Rumpf snaps should just go directly to Tuli Tuipulotu and all these guys and just play them more. I think they can still maintain a fresh rotation between the three of them. Justin Hollins can play on special teams while he kind of gets acclimated a little bit. So I do think that is kind of a net positive. It's just more snaps for Tuli, and Khalil and Joey obviously are going to do their usual workload as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious what the stunt rate was when Chris Rumpf came back and then what it will be, because as we saw last year with Chris Rumpf, it's like, I don't know if we can win the one-on-ones with Chris Rumpf, but we can use him to stunt and we can use them to do different things. So do they try that with Hollins? I don't know. But again, I don't know how much he's going to play. But he'll serve a solid role, and I feel comfortable with him definitely as a fourth guy.
Yeah, and I do like that they are going with four officially on the roster. I think last year having just the three, like it was too much. It was too much, especially when after Joey got injured, you didn't really have that other top tier pass rusher. So, you know, Justin Hollins can take 5-10 snaps on defense, keep him fresh a little bit, but I'm not expecting a ton from him. The move that got people more excited was a practice squad move. We'll see how long he stays on the practice squad. But the Chargers are bringing back veteran tight end Steven Anderson. Obviously, Steven Anderson was with the team in 2019, 2020, and 2021. 2021, he had essentially a breakout season for the Chargers in kind of an H-back tight end four pseudo role fullback. It was just, he wore a lot of hats, had a fantastic season as a blocker, had a couple of big moments as a pass catcher as well. So he's replacing Mark Webb on the practice squad. So interesting dynamic there. You know, Brandon Staley hinted at some of the tight ends on the active roster being banged up, most notably Gerald Everett and his back injury. But Tyler, I'm a fan of this move. I am. I think Heck that yeah. he fills a role that the Chargers need to upgrade. And I mentioned this on the Chargers channel. There were like some reps where they would try and motion Jalen Guyton in and be kind of like an H-back guy and try and dig out a linebacker. That's just not a receiver's role, right? It's not Stone Smart's job either. He's not performing that very well. So Steven Anderson has experience in that role. He has experience with the team. Justin Herbert was asked about him today and said he's a great teammate. So I'm excited about this one. It's a practice squad move, but I think it is a move that we'll see him be on the active roster sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he'll be up sooner rather than later. I don't think you add him to the practice squad to leave him there. I'm surprised he wasn't around sooner, and I think the Chargers really do regret having let him go. Frankly, I don't understand why they let him go. They never really found the right replacement for him. I'm very curious then what this means for Kellen Moore in the offense, because the most fullbacking they've done seems to be with like Jordan McFadden, for example. Yeah. And so does Steven Anderson become that? Because, you know, Kellen Moore has not really used a fullback the last few years. They cut their true fullback after week one or whatever it was. So what does he do? Because I don't see Steven Anderson as much of a, like an inline tight end. I don't think that was ever really ended up being his strong suit, at least with Joe Lombardi when he was here. But I will say, if you're getting a guy to move and you're getting a guy to block on the move, I would certainly much rather him than someone like Stone Smart, or frankly at the line, I would take Steven Anderson over Stone Smart. I just think it just, one, adds more to your run game. Two, I also just think it adds more to what you're showing and what you could show. Jordan McFadden is not getting the ball. He's not running out to the flat and catching a pass in the flat and getting yards after the catch. Steven Anderson,
he might.
Hey, you know, I don't care when you do it. Whenever you break that out, dude, that's the best player of the year. Like that'll be the play of the year. That'll be on the ESPYs. Yeah. It'll be great. But you can throw it to Steven Anderson twice. Yeah, you know, you can only do it once with McFadden. That's probably it. But with Anderson, you can do it a couple of times. So I love the move. Loved Steven Anderson when he was here. Didn't figure out why they let him go. They couldn't replace him. He's back. And I think you could just really start to see the evolution of the run game just get a little bit better, just incrementally better. Does Nick Van Nett move the needle a ton? Not really, but they got a little bit better, and you can tell he's just a better blocker. So if you get Anderson out there and you're just another little bit better after averaging 5.45 yards per carry in the second half of the last game against the Lions, and you're facing a Packers run defense that isn't very good, like, you can see them starting to find and fix some of the issues that plagued him throughout the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you know, Trey McKitty got a lot of the hate on social media for his poor performances, but I mean, Stone Smart was right there with him as a blocker, at least. Very different roles, different body types. I was never really expecting Stone Smart to be like a great blocker, and he's shown some interesting flashes as a receiver. But when you're down a guy like Gerald Everett, like, your other tight ends have to fill all these other roles. And so after Gerald Everett got hurt on Sunday, Stone Smart was often the tight end that they would use to like 11 personnel sets. So it is like a very clear role that they seem to like, is having that the big receiver, if you will, who's going to be like the tight end in 11 personnel. And Gerald Everett, when he's in the game, he blocks hard. The technique is not always perfect, but he tries hard. Stone Smart, he's only played tight end for 2 years. I feel bad like criticizing him, but the blocking is just a major issue. Like, there's just no resistance. It's essentially like you are blocking without a tight end while he's out there. So Steven Anderson comes in. I think that can really just, again, stabilize the blocking, like you mentioned, similar fashion as Nick Van Nett. And we'll see what happens. I know people are not super excited with Kellen Moore's approach to the run game and the results, more so specifically, but he's trying. He's trying different stuff out there on a week-to-week basis. This past week, I thought he had a good plan. He was trying to get the Lions out of heavier packages, and he was trying to get the Lions with lighter boxes, and it just didn't really work super effectively. So he's trying new things. He's trying to figure out what really is going to work for them long-term. And I think Steven Anderson and Nick Van Nett coming in can really provide a more stable floor to this run game and help, you know, them find their identity a little bit more.
Yeah, really, can you just upgrade your tight end room just in the middle of the season? And they did it twice, now with Van Nett and then now with Anderson. Yeah. So it's just significantly better. And like you said, he tries different things. Kellen Moore tries different things, and I can appreciate that. Because some people don't like turning over play calling duties or changing anything, and others try to do some different things. And hey, they scored 38 points because of it.
Yeah, those adjustments can make some strong dividends, you know, so we'll see what happens there. All right, Tyler, any other thoughts on these moves? Oh, I guess we should also mention the Chargers have opened the window for JT Woods to return. There's obviously been not much information about what exactly happened with him, but he was on the non-football illness list. He was not on injured reserve. Those are two different things. But the window for him to return is officially opened. I don't know if he also has the 21 days or not, but obviously this is kind of the first step for JT to make his way back to the team. How much of an impact he makes remains to be seen. I tend to think that Dean Marlowe has really kind of solidified the safety three spot. But what do you kind of expect, I guess, of JT returning?
Safety four. And I think that, you know, Alohi's spot is safe. Dean Marlowe's spot, I do think, is safe. So JT Woods will be safety four. And maybe in a few weeks when he's back and like officially back in the swing of things, maybe they sort of back to that safety three role that he was supposed to have. But Dean Marlowe's, you know, earned the right to be out there and has looked pretty good. So it's tough to do anything else with JT Woods at this point. Had they kept four active safeties on the roster on game day?
They've kind of gone back and forth with Jalen Hawkins and AJ Finley kind of going back and forth with three or four. This past Sunday, I think they did have the four up, but I don't think Hawkins played very much, if at all.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, Isaiah Spiller's been inactive. JT Woods has been inactive before. I don't know. You got to figure out what you have. You felt good about him, but then, you know, the issue happened and that stinks. But then, like, can you put him back out there? I don't know. Like, you put him out there against the Ravens? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think I mean, this is obviously another conversation for another day, but this 2022 draft class is really taking shape, and we're really starting to figure out who can play and who cannot play. So, you know, you have Zion, who's a starter. Jamari is obviously a starter. You know, this is a really important second half of the season for guys like Otito Ogbonia and Jahzir Taylor, Dean Leonard, who I thought was pretty solid on Sunday against the Lions in his spot duty. But they're getting basically nothing from JT Woods and Isaiah Spiller. And I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon, as sad as that sounds. And obviously Xander Horvath is not on the team anymore. So yeah, it would be nice to see these guys like Otito, Jahzir, and Dean kind of like solidify themselves a little bit, maybe earn you know, a stronger role going forward. Obviously, you know that Dean Leonard's a fantastic special teams player. But Otito, I thought, has shown some good flashes. Jahzir has shown some good flashes over the last couple of weeks. It'd be nice for us to feel like good about them as potential starters, you know, beyond this season.
Yeah, Dean Leonard, man. Like, I didn't watch the defensive replay, but just watching them live, they tried to pick on him in two back-to-back plays, I believe. And there was that, you know, deep shot down the left sideline. From my point of view watching it, it's like, I don't know. And if you just have any flashbacks in that moment of how he looked against the Rams, that's a pass interference or a touchdown. But he got his head around, put the hand up, you know, just made the ball move just a little bit, you know, got his hand on it, and was a pass defense. And it was actually really impressive. So just little bits like that are really strong. It's what we saw in training camp. You know, he didn't have five or six passes broken up in one day for no reason. Like, he did get better. So I there's no way to see what Dean Leonard can do for you unless someone gets hurt. But yeah, in a parallel universe, I'd love to see what Dean Leonard could do for you, because you have a lot of question marks next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Long-term wise, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can carve out a role at all. But, you know, 7th round picks, you're not expecting to be long-term starters by any means. You know, him becoming a guy who can play spot, start duty, be a great special teams player, That's a hit, in my opinion, for a 7th round pick, and we'll see what happens there. But Otito and Jahzir, I think that's kind of more where you're potentially gaining some long-term starters, and we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
All right, let's dive into this Packers preview. You know, a little bit of a different start to the episode, obviously, because of the news, but we'll dive into the Packers roster, and then we'll have our key matchup, X Factors, all that good stuff like we always do. If you are listening, you're missing a heck of a cheese and I almost called it a charcuterie board, like the guy from the Jets. Charcuterie board graphic here from Tyler that he has made to preview the Packers matchup. So appreciate the creativity and good work as always, Tyler.
I thought you were going to go with like charcuterie board or something, like Chargers or something, but nope, you're in a whole different direction. So yeah, whatever. Yeah.
It's all good. All right. Packers coaching staff. It's been a lot of the same guys for quite some time, I feel like. Obviously, Matt LaFleur is the head coach, you know, rebounding, you know, with the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers kind of has solidified his status as a head coach, but he's going through it a little bit with a very young team. So, you know, the Packers go from 3 consecutive 13 win seasons hosting playoff games to 3-6 this year. Joe Barry, who was actually going to be the Chargers linebacker coach at one point for Brandon Staley, an associate head coach, is now their defensive coordinator in Green Bay. I think he was the Chargers linebacker coach for like 4 days. OC Adam Stenovich is a former offensive line guy, so I love that. Love to see an offensive line guy getting some OC love. And then our former nemesis, if you will, Mr. Rich Bisaccia, a.k.a. not Josh McDaniels on the chart here, is their special teams coach. So, Tyler, what's kind of your impression of what this coaching staff around Matt LaFleur has been able to do this season with this young team that the Packers have going on around Jordan Love?
From an offensive perspective, it really is. Like, you look at the draft classes the last 2 years and then who's producing in terms of receiving, it's literally just the last two classes.
Yeah,
I don't recall the last time I've seen we do these previews every game, or not every game, every game with each team. And I don't remember this much turnover in two seasons for like an entire specific position group in terms of the draft. Like, it is everyone you drafted is getting the ball, and that's basically it, which is fine. Like, I wish our first round pick got more of the football, but that's a whole nother topic. LaFleur, I think, it's a tricky situation because they started the week one really strong and the preseason looked really good. but then you lose Bakhtiari and Jenkins is hurt and, yeah. and Myers is not Creed Humphrey and, you know, some Watson. Oops. Yeah. Well, I don't know who made that.
Who could have saw that?
Yeah. But that will be the forever thing. Right. I was going to say Christian Watson was hurt. So yeah. they're trying to make things work. I will say it really does seem like Jordan Love, and I've mentioned at the top of the show, is kind of starting to round back into form, because honestly, the last time I watched him specifically was against the Raiders and they stunk. It was not great. Yeah. But watching them against the Steelers, and that's a very tough Steelers defense, he looked pretty good. You know, if the Packers line were healthier and, you know, Aaron Jones weren't in and out of the lineup because of injuries, I think this offense would be a lot better than what they yeah. currently are at. As far as the defense goes, I hear nothing but groaning and complaining from Packers fans about how bad the defense is. Although the talk, they seem to believe that Brandon Staley would be their defensive coordinator of the future should something happen in that regard. Which is funny, because we're all complaining about the defensive side of the football and grass is not always green and that sort of thing. But yeah, Joe Barry has not been great. Was also former Chargers, I want to say the linebackers coach. A couple years yeah. in the McCoy era and then before that. So
good call. Yeah.
Hello again, I guess. Can't wait to run all of your defense. That run defense has not been great. I mean, I don't think the Steelers have been, like, Najee Harris has essentially been a disappointment. And the Steelers just got benched. Wait, officially?
Jalen Warren's their starter now.
Well, he finally has a good game. He gets benched. He had yeah. 5 point. Wait, really?
Yeah.
What? I missed that.
That happened today. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Because I was watching them run and they both look, you know, Jalen Warren has been the guy and has been look. Wow, I didn't know that. Anyway, the more you know. Yeah, I'm surprised after that performance you would get benched. But okay. Yeah. Jalen Warren both look really good. So I think the Chargers are in for a sweet treat when the Packers rush out their wide nine to try to defend the pass. And the Chargers run up the middle and Zion and Jamari get going. I think it's a game where they absolutely could. We'll talk about that later.
Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing that come to fruition as well. You know, I mentioned, so I watched two Packers games yesterday on tape. I watched the Packers and the Steelers, and I watched the Packers and who do they play before that? The Commanders?
Just making it up. I'll believe you.
Anyways, I watched two of their recent games, and against the Steelers, like, Matt LaFleur's top guys on offense outside of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon are all young guys. I mean, they're playing a former seventh round pick at left tackle and Rashid Walker, the famous bike thief from our draft episode.
Fucking told you guys.
And then Zach Thomas is their right tackle, who they drafted last year as well. Who, like, you know, for where they drafted them, those guys are playing well, but you know, you have Elgton Jenkins and Aaron Jones, who are the veterans. But outside of that, it's literally all guys that they have drafted in the last 2 years. And Jordan Love, who was the member of the 2020 class, but this is his first year starting, obviously. So there's a lot of training wheel elements to this offense right now, but I think it's smart. And I think it's the right way for Matt LaFleur to build up confidence for these guys, for this specific quarterback. Like, I watched them chip the living hell out of TJ Watt this past week. And it was like every single play, they were chipping him. They were double teaming him. They were chipping Alex Highsmith. They would have max protect calls like every other play, I feel like. And it's just a way to get the confidence built up of your young quarterback, your young receivers. You know, that's a lot of yards after catch opportunities for Jaden Reed, for Romeo Doubs. It's a lot of just things that make sense as they develop this training. They're using Luke Musgrave as a field stretcher. You know, he's working the seams, he's running past people. Tucker Kraft it's a bit of a work in progress, but he's kind of their short area tight end. You know, again, makes sense, give him some yards after catch opportunities. The consistency is not there with this group. Obviously, they're playing so many young guys, but Matt LaFleur is coaching them in a really smart way. And like, this is a unit that I think next year could probably be a really, you know, very interesting offense, because Matt LaFleur, I think, is a really smart coach. The bones of this Packers offense are really smart, but it's the consistency aspect of things. So from the Chargers standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, I do think this is a matchup that the Chargers defensive line should get back to form. I do expect the edge rushers to play angry this week and be able to get after it. Whether or not the secondary carries their weight remains to be seen. But from a strategy standpoint, you have to be more consistent than the youngest offense in the league. Like, that's the bar. And we haven't seen that happen. You know, it's the truth. You know, this cannot be a game where you let Jordan Love go for 320 or whatever and three touchdowns, and you can't let Christian Watson get going. So, you know, you have to be just sound and consistent. Don't let the Packers make these big explosive plays, because that's how you'll let them get going. But I objectively think Matt LaFleur is doing a fantastic job with these guys.
And you can see it again. I've only recently watched the Steelers game, but you can tell just in how wide open some of these guys are.
Yeah.
And it just seemed, you know, you can move Jordan Love off his spot. There's still an aspect of, you know, basically year one quarterback right now.
Right.
But when he was on, and when, you know, the protection was there enough and they were doing a lot of play action, there were guys routinely open. Like, everyone just kind of looked sharp. Everyone had, the spacing was really solid. There were so many moments where it's like, where are the Steelers defenders? And that's got to be a credit to LaFleur. Like, I don't think the Steelers are a bad defense. I don't recall them being bad this season. Certainly not that bad. So to have several guys get open so routinely throughout that game and having a lot of answers on third down. I mean, you can tell just Jordan Love, like, he's going to process some things on third down.
Yeah.
There was one, like, the Steelers, like, showed rushing eight or whatever it was, dropped a bunch of guys. Love knew he had the guy on the out route for the first down, hit him perfect. Like, it was such a good play. And you can tell, like, you can tell that LaFleur, you know, credit to Jordan Love, of course, but LaFleur has these guys dialed in. And I really do think you can see where this offense is going to be in a year. I don't know how Packers fans feel, right? Again, I don't watch Packers football, but just watching that game, it's like, yeah, these guys are going to be good potentially this week, and certainly in a year when they all grow together like this and the line gets, you know, reshuffled and fixed and they're healthy, it's going to be a good unit.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, Packers fans who are so used to just like dominating and being relevant and being competitive, like, they're probably not thrilled with all the drops and the, you know, the sailing passes and things like that. And obviously Joe Barry is another issue. But like, me as an objective football fan, like, I see a lot of good, solid potential being made here. And Matt LaFleur, I think, is, like I mentioned, I think he's coaching them up the right way. He's laying a solid foundation. You know, next year you probably have like a top 10 pick. You can get one of these offensive tackles to replace David Bakhtiari. You can kind of get a veteran receiver in there. But it's a nice unit. I'm not jealous at all of having the two young tight ends that I would have loved one of them on the Chargers. I promise I'm not jealous. But it's a fun unit, man. There's definitely some consistency issues. But overall, I think this group is really coming together well. I love the way that everything kind of just fits. Like, the roles all fit. Mm-hmm. The way they're using Jaden Reed, who I like. The way they're using Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. Like, the roles are all different, and they fit well, and they're executing them well. The two tight ends are different players, and they're using them well. So it's just good coaching. Like, I think they'll take their lumps the rest of the year. But I think, like you mentioned, next year they could be a really fun offense to watch next season.
Yeah, it's really a bummer to watch. Okay, so I'm watching Sam Laporta versus the Chargers. Okay, then I go and I watch Darnell Washington on the Steelers. Then I go, because they're playing the same game. So I'm watching Luke Musgrave. Then I'm watching Tucker Kraft. And it's like, wow.
I just needed one, man. I just needed one.
One would have been great. Shout out Steven Anderson, dude. Love you. Yeah. So happy you're back. It is week 11, though. I don't even know officially if you're going to be on the active roster. Would have loved to have one of those guys. But you know, I'll just say this. Thule is doing so much work for me to not absolutely lose my mind about the second round and how no tight end was taken, because I wouldn't want another tight end over Thule in the second round. Not even close. So thank goodness for Thule, because otherwise, the FOMO on tight ends is it's hurting.
Yeah, could have taken one in the third round. Maybe Deion becomes a great player. We'll see. But
yeah.
All right. Off-season review for the Packers. Lots of losses for this team. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, they just traded Rasul Douglas. But Alan Lazard, Jaron Reed, Dean Lowry, Randall Cobb, Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, Adrian Amos, Justin Hollins. That's a lot of veteran pieces that they lost. They didn't really bring in anybody of note from a free agency standpoint. I guess the long snapper who plays is a starter for them. But, you know, Keyshawn Nixon's a slot corner, return specialist. Speaking of, he's a good return specialist. Chargers definitely need to be aware of him. But Tyrarius Moore, Jonathan Owens, who is, oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on her name. I feel terrible right now. Simone Biles, thank you. That's her husband or fiance or whatever. But he doesn't really play that much. So again, I don't think we need to spend too much time on this. They lost a lot of pieces, didn't really replace them. They had a cap reset. Obviously, they still have a lot of Aaron Rodgers' dead cap hit this year. Next season, they have a good amount of cap space.
Yeah, a lot of losses, a lot of turnover. This is very much so. We'll take our lumps as a new team, figure out who we are post Aaron Rodgers. It's a hard reset that also like still allows them to function. Like it still seems like they can be competitive, but it is a pretty hard reset. You lose your quarterback, but then Lazard, Reed, Lowry, Cobb, Tonyan, Lewis, like these are guys that I just expect and have seen on the Packers for a while. Although Cobb came back to the Packers, but yeah, everybody's in a different place now, except for somehow Tonyan and Lewis both ended up in Chicago. Once again, a tight end I would have loved to maybe have, but
that's just I don't know if they're playing all that much.
Okay. Well, so, shout out Steven Anderson.
Cole Kmet, baby. Let's go. All right. This is where you'll really see one of the biggest draft classes. They have a ton of draft picks next year as well. Lucas Van Ness in the first round, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, guys we just talked about a little bit. Colby Wooden, the linebacker from Auburn. Sean Clifford, their backup quarterback. Dontavian Wicks from Virginia. Carl Brooks, who's playing a decent amount. I knew some Chargers fans wanted him. Anders Carlson is the younger brother of Daniel Carlson. He's their starting kicker. Carrington Valentine from Kentucky. Lou Nichols, I can't even really see those other two names. I don't recognize them. But a lot of these guys are playing roles for this Packers team. Tyler, what do you make of the way that they've kind of been using these young guys?
On offense, fantastic. We just talked about it. These guys are all getting involved. Luke Musgrave, hasn't been Sam Laporta or Kincaid, but that's not quite where we thought he was going to be.
He was a longer term guy for sure.
For sure. And a guy, not that he's a specialized guy, but he definitely has a particular role that it seems like the Packers are leaning into the last couple of weeks. The big, we'll see about swing and a miss, but it seems like Lucas Van Ness is not living up to what you would have hoped so far. As you pointed out on the Chargers show, 5 pressures the first game and a sack. Like you're partying, you're celebrating. That's as good as it gets for a rookie. And then you look at the rest of the way, and it's I think like 7 or 8 games of 0 pressures, and then finally 1 with 2. That's rough for a first round pick.
Yeah. Again, and he's playing. It's not like he's not playing. Like,
oh yeah,
he's playing.
Yeah, I think he has at least 100 pass rush snaps, which isn't a ton, but that's enough. And again, the first game you have probably like 20 reps, and then the next 80 you only have 2. That's not great. And Lucas Van Ness was already someone that I felt better about by the end of the draft process or pre-draft process, but sure. You look at the numbers in the film and it's like you better hit. And I'm really curious how much of how they're using their edge rushers. Do they ask him to do a lot of wide 9 stuff? I haven't specified and looked at Lucas Van Ness, but it hasn't been great. So I think this is actually a really solid class overall, one that'll definitely grow. A lot of names in here that I really like, including a Carl Brooks. But Lucas Van Ness has to hit for this to be one of the better classes, because so far it's a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, I think I was initially really low on Lucas Van Ness, and then just the more I studied him, you see some interesting things, but you knew he was going to be a work in progress. That being said, 7 pressures in 9 games, that's a disappointment, no way to shake it. And it's not people will bring up Quentin Johnson in this instance. Quentin was objectively not playing the first few games, and Lucas Van Ness was a starter for them for the first few games until Rashawn Gary got back. So it's an interesting thing. We'll see how this works out. Rashawn Gary wasn't exactly an instant hit for them either. It took him, a year and some change, if I remember correctly, for him to really find his stride. Now he's one of the best pass rushers in the league. So maybe they feel like they can have that kind of, long-term development. Obviously, they have Preston Smith, at least for this year. So they don't necessarily need Lucas Van Ness to be this amazing player, but I'm sure Packers fans would love to see more from him. But you mentioned it, man, the offense and this draft class in particular, you're getting contributions from all of them, even Dontavian Wicks, who I wasn't expecting to be he's not a starter for them, but he's got 239 yards receiving and a touchdown, 17 catches. He's kind of a fill in for everybody else role. He's kind of their version of Josh Palmer. He's been a big play guy. He's been a 50-50 guy. So he's filling in as a nice role as a fourth receiver. And again, all of their young receivers are last 2 years. So it's just impressive to see. And then Anders Carlson, you know, their kicker has been pretty solid from what I can tell. So this is a class that I think you feel good about, like the foundation of it. But for Packers fans, like for this to be like a true hit, like Lucas Van Ness has got to figure it out and reach his potential that obviously led him to be drafted in the first round.
Yeah, the number of draft picks is slightly inflated by the fact that they have so many seventh rounders, but still, like, you try to go get more at bats. And so even if Van Ness doesn't hit, if you go, let's say, like 2 out of 3, and again, you want the first rounder to hit, but you go like Musgrave, Reed figures it out and becomes a legit receiver. Then you find some development for Kraft and let's say Carl Brooks. And you have a kicker now with Carlson. I know the joke now is don't draft kickers, and that's certainly played out this year. But Carlson seems to be solid. And, you know, good bloodline, I guess. Again, it's a really solid class. I am very curious how they do against the Chargers secondary this week because I guess we'll save it for the matchups.
Yeah, but a fun class nonetheless. They have a ton of pick next year as well, so if you're a draft fan and a Packers fan, you're probably sorry. I think we both said it at the same time. No worries. But if you're a Packers fan and a draft nerd, you're probably having a fun springtime next year. So we'll see what happens there.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, we'll take a quick second here and tell you about some of our partnerships, some of our sponsors. First and foremost, I have to tell you about Little Caesars, which obviously we know pizza and football go together so well, just like Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, who we potentially think might challenge for the lead in receiving this year. So hopefully he's able to play this week. That's another thing that we will have to keep an eye on. But Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, it's a great combination, just like pizza and football. You can go use Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL and the Los Angeles Chargers. You can use their pizza portal pickup. You can order the delivery. Either way, you get some good pizza, good fun ahead of football matchups. You get the whole feature, which is an hour before kickoff, which is a great, fantastic feature. So we cannot recommend Little Caesars enough. Again, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL and the Los Angeles Chargers.
And I'm here to talk to you about Prize Picks, which is a ton of fun. I think both Steven and I partake every week, and it's a lot of fun. Prize Picks is a skill-based real money daily fantasy sports game. You pick 2 players, 3 players, 4, 5, 6 players, and if it will go more or less than their Prize Picks projection, it's really that simple. You get to watch your progress update in real time, feel a bit of those nerves, but also the excitement, and you can win up to 25 times your entry amount. I've loved using it so far, so if you want to use it, go to make your selections, go to prizepicks.com/guilty and use the code guilty for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/guilty.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Go check it out. It really helps support the show. You guys get to make some money as well. So it's really a no-brainer in my opinion. All right, Tyler, let's get to some of these key matchups. I'll let you start us off here. You know, key matchups is obviously what we want to focus in on specifically for these individual players. You know, last week, I feel like was a rough week for the key matches that we highlighted in terms of how it resulted. But we'll see what happens this week. So who is your biggest matchup, most important matchup of the week for the Chargers as they head to Lambeau Field for the first time?
Don't know whether the weather's going to be. I'm not sure Keenan Allen is playing. Therefore, you better make sure you can run it this week, and you better figure it out this week against a bad Packers rushing defense. Like, they are not great. And, you know, I was on a podcast with Mike Colano yesterday, too, who's a half Chargers, half Packers fan, but he hosts the Packers. And that's his true team. Yeah, Mike's awesome. And he said, you are more than welcome to just run it up the middle on this team. And you're going to laugh at how good you are and the records you're going to set. Everyone's going to have a career day against this Packers interior. I don't know. But watching even just the Steelers play the Packers this last game, the missed tackles, the blown gap assignments, everything was just rough to watch. And I thought, sure, the Steelers blocked well and the defensive line for the Packers wasn't doing great. But even just felt like at the next level and then at the third level, they just weren't really working well. So this run defense ain't great. So I would just specify and just really just focus on Jamari and Zion here, who I think this is a game where they kind of find some momentum that picks up from the last game against the Lions. Jets game sucked for everybody. I thought the offensive line overall was a lot better. And I think the interior was pretty good. I think they'll be much better in this game too. So if Keenan Allen is not playing, which, God, of course that would happen after we said he would lead the NFL in receiving yards. I think he will, but still, if he's limited and if it's snowing, perhaps, I think you just good old fashioned, I don't know who the fullback is, but let's say Jordan McFadden, outside of his, you know, big flat route for a touchdown that Steven really wants to happen, you know, using him or whatever, running it with, I think I said my X factor last week was Joshua Kelly. I will not say that again this week. But at some point, he will get more than six touches in a game, so we'll see. But I think the way your interior matches up against their interior defensive line, pretty important, I guess, if you're down to wide receiver, technically four, and tight end three, potentially, if Parham's back or hip injury is any serious.
Yeah, so from a weather standpoint, according to my iPhone app, it says right now that kickoff is around 45 degrees and sunny. So certainly chilly, but for Green Bay in November, I'm taking that. I know there are like people who are going are like, oh man, I was really hoping to experience like the frozen tundra. I'm like, why? Why would you be upset about that? It's warm in November in Green Bay. Like, please and thank you. Hopefully that continues to stick. It looks like it's supposed to snow there on like next Wednesday and stuff like that. So hopefully it stays nice. Yeah. If no Keenan Allen, no Jared Everett this week, you got to give me like at least 15 carries for Joshua Kelly and at least 15 for Austin Eckler. Like, I think you really got to get the run game going this week. You know, the Packers run defense is basically where the Chargers were at last year. I know that like people are really going to overreact to what the Chargers gave up on the ground last week. I'm not going to do that. It's the run defense is separate. Like the pass defense, yes, it looked better against the Bears and the Jets. That part I never bought into. I did buy into the run defense because the run defense has objectively been very good for them for the whole course of the season. The Lions are just a buzzsaw. They have a great offensive line, great running back duo, great scheme. That was an unfortunate game. I think that's going to be an outlier. That's my way of saying the Packers run defense this year is like the Chargers run defense last year. It's not pretty. Their interior defensive line grouping is just not made of run stuffers. This is like the Chargers when they would roll out Morgan Fox and Jerry Tillery on early downs. It was just not pretty with Devontae Wyatt and Kenny Clark. Yeah. So it's it is that bad if you're running up the middle. The Chargers have not shown the ability to consistently do that. I hope this is a game where they can really build some momentum. You know, maybe we'll see Nick Vannett and Steven Anderson really kind of establish themselves. That would be fantastic. But I do think the offensive line played much better against the Lions. And it's not like the Lions have nobody. Like, there were a couple reps that Aleem McNeil had on Zion and Jamari each. There were a couple reps from Aiden Hutchinson on Trey Pipkins. But objectively, I thought the Chargers offensive line was much better against the Lions. And so hopefully that was kind of like a minor step, and we see the Chargers offensive line really take a big step this week against the Packers.
Yeah, I think they will. So is your key matchup going to be the run defense or?
I think specifically the linebackers against the running backs this week.
Okay.
Like I do expect the edge rushers and the defensive tackles to respond. I think that group, you know, the defensive tackle room, I think needs to be reshuffled a little bit. I would love to see Otito get some more snaps in there. Obviously we've talked about Morgan Fox getting more snaps. But I trust the defensive line to show up this week. The linebacker play has really been hit or miss, and specifically against coaches who know how to take advantage of the Chargers linebackers in the passing game, that's been a major issue. And it's like Ben Johnson like circled the linebackers in red this week and was like, I'm just going to attack it. Like, I think the fact that Dean Leonard comes in for Michael Davis and they target him a few times early, and then we're just like, we don't care about your backup corner. We're going after the linebackers. I think really that says a lot to me. So I think the linebackers have defended the run well, but I think coverage is a major, major issue right now for Kenneth Murray and Eric Kendricks. And it's just not what we expected, or at least what I expected out of the Eric Kendricks signing is not really come to fruition. So I'm curious to see, how does Matt LaFleur use specifically Aaron Jones to take advantage of the linebackers? I think that's one way that he was able to create some explosive plays this past week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, we know what Aaron Jones's track record has been as a receiver, as a player. So that's my key matchup. I think that's really one way that the Packers can maybe move the ball a little bit more on the Chargers, is really attacking the linebackers. And hopefully the two respond much better than they played last week.
I have zero confidence in their ability to do anything against Luke Musgrave, who isn't like an elite tight end, but like, good golly, that is a very tall, very explosive, very, I don't say physical, but he's a big dude. Like, there's a lot to Luke Musgrave.
Yeah.
And I he's deceptively very fast. I don't know that Kenneth Murray or Eric Kendricks can handle that. He's not twitchy, so maybe that helps a little bit. But yeah, I'm worried because LaFleur, and this is kind of why I'm worried about this game, the linebackers in the secondary. Yes, these guys, they don't have a single elite guy of that receiving group, but they all seem to be good and like trending towards being pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I just think the way LaFleur can dial things up, you know, I discussed that, like, okay, the best coordinator the Chargers faced this year, the three of them, they put up 108 points on this defense. LaFleur is a coordinator that belongs in that conversation for some of the best play callers. He just doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, and he doesn't have, Tyreek Hill and stuff like that. But like, he can do a lot and has been doing that. I've seen recently quite a bit. So yeah, whether it's the linebackers, whether it's the safeties, whether it's the DBs, whoever, like, yeah, I'm very worried about this game, and it's nothing to do with the offense, Chargers offense. I'm not worried about them, barring injuries, taking everybody out. But I really do feel, with Staley saying, I'm not changing nothing, the scheme ain't changing, the play calling ain't changing, nothing's changing, LaFleur goes, great, dude, I appreciate that. Heck, I coach against basically this defense every day in practice. So
yeah,
time to go after your guys. It's going to be... We'll see. These edge rushers got to show up.
Yeah. I'm even if Keenan doesn't play, I still think the offense will be able to put up points. I just think that the way Justin Herbert came back to his usual form last week, I think is going to carry over. I think him and Kellen have really started to figure each other out and like what they want to do and isolate. Obviously, Keenan Allen not having him would be huge. I think that is the difference between me predicting them scoring over 30 and maybe 23 or something like that. Like, I do think Keenan is worth a full touchdown. But I still expect the offense to be able to move the ball against this defense, because I just trust Justin and Kellen to figure out a good game plan. This Packers defense is not very good. But this Chargers defense, like, if they are not able to get after Jordan Love from a pass rush standpoint, it could be a long day. It really could. Like, I think people are really underestimating this Packers offense because, they're 3-6 or whatever, and people still hold on to the Jordan Love priors. And he's certainly not been the most consistent quarterback. But this offense can certainly put up points if you are not able to get after Jordan Love. Like, if you're not able to pressure him, like, he can make throws and make your make life tough on your defense. So this is a tough task for the defense. Like, I want people to take this seriously. Like, this isn't like a get right game. Like, this isn't the Bears and the Jets from a pass defense standpoint. Like, I think you are in for a much more difficult matchup than is really being made out to be right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know if I was driving home or just sitting during my break, and all of a sudden I started thinking about it, then watching the games, and I'm like, am I going to pick the Chargers to lose? I'm not there yet, but I got to see the injury report.
Yeah. No, this is a tougher game than I think is being made out to be. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, traveling to Green Bay for the first time since I think it was the Locked On guys said it was like the first time since Philip Rivers was like 2 years old they've been at Lambeau.
I think since they won at Lambeau.
Oh, since they won at Lambeau.
Okay. Yeah, because they were there in 20. Keenan had like 12 catches in the first half or something of that game. It was insane. But it was.
Was that like 2014?
I guess we can do some math here. 2015.
2015.
I would guess. Yeah.
All right. Because I know they hosted the Packers. And killed them that game, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah. Shane Steichen's coming out party.
There we go. Throwback. All right. So my X factor of the week is going to be Mr. J.K. Scott and this punt coverage team. I guess more specifically, Dean Leonard and Jasir Taylor as the gunners. Keyshawn Nixon is one of the best return men in the league. I think if you watched that Packers and Steelers game, you saw Keyshawn Nixon give them very good opportunities to have field position, short drives. This is a game where we're kind of talking about the defense having some struggles. Maybe you don't have Keenan Allen potentially. Maybe Jared Everett doesn't play. You can't allow Keyshawn Nixon to give this Packers offense short fields and just consistently, make it easier on the Packers offense, which I think could, have a good day this week. So, Ryan Ficken is a fantastic special teams coach. As Daniel Popper pointed out, they are currently on track to have positive EPA per play impact on special teams for the second season in a row, which I think is like the first time since I was like a child. So Ryan Ficken's awesome. I do expect him to have a good game plan. Him and J.K. Scott, I know J.K. Scott's not perfect, but like Ryan Ficken knows how to use J.K. Scott properly. He knows how to get the most out of this punt coverage unit, the kickoff return unit. And we saw them limit Xavier Gibson a couple weeks ago, who's another electric punt returner. And I think we should see them do that again this week against Keyshawn Nixon. But if he pops one loose, that could really be the difference in the game, because I think this could be a tight game with the way the Packers offense could isolate some of the Chargers' weaknesses.
Yeah, like you said, Keenan Allen is worth that touchdown, so you don't want to give them a free touchdown or give them any easy field position. Make it difficult on Jordan Love, of course. Make him drive the whole field, and they probably still will, but at least you made him do it, right? So they had to – maybe there's opportunities for an interception or something when they have to play more. Nixon, playing quite a bit. I don't know how much they intended him to play on defense heading into the season, but he's playing quite a bit now. Good returner for them. I'm all for revenge games. I don't know if punters can have revenge games. I don't recall
that's true,
ever seeing a revenge game, but I'm all for it. My X factor, I guess a bit more obvious, is going to be Jalen Guyton for several reasons. One, because I do think he's an X factor in general, not the wide receiver one, not the wide receiver two. What do you think? Is it possible that Jalen Guyton actually receives more targets than Quentin Johnson this week if Keenan is out? Is it possible that Guyton is actually the guy who would be featured more because Herbert just, maybe not intentionally featured, but Herbert trusts him more? Do you feel that it's possible that Guyton is actually the leading receiver if Keenan is out?
Possible, yes. If Keenan is out, I mean, first of all, I would think Austin Eckler would be the leading receiver, but
fair.
Of the wide receivers, I think that is possible. I think they would design more touches for Quentin at that point. I don't know.
You sure?
They're not designing a lot for Jalen Guyton. Like, all of his touches this past week were like where he was like the third, fourth read kind of situation. He's very clearly like not his former self. He's rounding into form, but like you know, he caught those two passes and like just basically went down like right away. Like he's not even trying to run after the catch on Sunday. I don't know, man. If this isn't the if Keenan doesn't play and this isn't the Quentin Johnston breakout game, then I think people can really start having like actual questions. I know there's been a lot of questions already, but like this game in particular, if there's no Keenan, this needs to be like a Quentin Johnston like 10 target kind of game, in my opinion.
Yeah, if there's no Keenan and there's projected to be no Jair Alexander, you've got a seventh round pick from this year that we just talked about, and then a sixth rounder, I believe, from last year. So you have Valentine and Ballantyne. That's going to kill me as they're talking about that.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll be out there. And Quentin Johnston, if you can't do it against those guys, I got nothing for you. So, you know, I assume he'll be fine. It seems like Quentin Johnston was actually very close. I would love to have seen that one like potential house call that just a little tug on the arm or whatever just kind of changed the running just a little bit. But like he also should have probably had that one. And if he did, that's the 80-yard touchdown that we hold on to for the next 10 games, whether he's good or not, because that's just the highlight for us. Yeah, we'll see. I think Quentin Johnston will have a pretty good game, though.
Yeah, he was so close to like truly breaking out this past week. And, you know, we'll see what happens. The I think it was a holding call officially on the fourth down at the goal line. I watched the tape of that. I did not think that was a penalty at all. I thought that was just a drop from Quentin. So thank you, referees, for that one. Obviously, they came back to Quentin on the touchdown. But I do think that Quentin's starting to figure some things out, and the Chargers are starting to figure some things out. I think, obviously, this process has been very long, but the way that they have kind of designed some targets for him as like a slant guy, as the comebacks, I think they're starting to figure some things out. And weirdly, him and Justin have like great chemistry on scramble drills. Like it's so strange to me. Like Quentin is always the scramble drill guy somehow.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like I keep on saying this, like hopefully this is the game where we see really a pop. I thought he was really close this past week, had some great routes, but the pass interference that he dropped, which would have been easily an 80-yard touchdown, that one hurt. It did.
You got to break out this game, because I don't want to wait for the breakout game against the Ravens the next week while Zay Flowers gets to face this secondary. That's not fair.
No. Man, that Ravens game. I'm so nervous about that game. That game could be, oh man, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews. That's a tough combination. Lamar's playing like the MVP of the league. That one might be rough.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there when you get there. Oh, I get to preview it though.
Yeah. So I'm going to be on a cruise. Awesome.
Yeah. I get to be nervous the whole week while you are, well, not drinking, relaxing somewhere.
Yeah. I'll be back to watch the game. So it's going to be interesting. I've decided that I'm going to delete all my social media for the next week while I go on vacation and just kind of detox a little bit. So if you missed it, I'm going on a cruise with my family for Thanksgiving this weekend. And I will not be here for the rest of the week. So Tyler and guests will be previewing the Ravens show, reacting to the Packers game. So should be a lot of fun there. Tyler, any final thoughts on this specific Packers game before we head out?
I'm excited. You know, you don't get to see your team play the Lions very much, and I wish I didn't at this point, but now you don't get to play the Packers, who I haven't seen them play in a while. So should be good. Should be entertaining. I love different matchups. You know, I was trying to do thumbnails, or you try to do something where like you're trying to find pictures, and it's like you Google Chargers Packers, and it's just like
there's like nothing.
There's nothing. It's Rivers, it's Gordon, it's Ingram, it's, you know, dreadlock Mike Williams. It's like, oh gosh, what, like, I got nothing to use. Thankfully, Keenan's been in the league for 3,000 years, so you can work with something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Should be a lot of fun. I was really bummed that this game was happening this weekend, because I was really hoping to make the trek out to Lambeau. It's obviously a bucket list item. So I know several fans are making the trip out. Hope you guys enjoy it. You know, we'll see what the result is. So should be a fun game. You know, Justin Herbert potentially without Keenan on will not be super fun to watch, because I think Keenan really has a chance to lead the league in receiving. So hopefully he's able to give it a go. But I'm always excited to watch Justin Herbert, man. I think this is really going to be another very positive game for him. He's not even wearing a splint right now. He's just got a little tape on the finger. So, you know, getting healthier.
It's like Lucky or something. I get it. It's like a little extra like security, not blankie. It sounds kind of lame, but like you just feel better having it there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Make sure and like the video, comment, tell a friend, subscribe. All that good stuff really does help continue to grow the show. I will not be here next week, like I said, so I will see you guys next Sunday after the Ravens game. So it's going to be a minute until you hear my voice and see my face again. But Tyler will be here covering this team. We'll see what happens throughout the rest of the week. So make sure and tune in for all his great coverage in the next 10 days or so. Appreciate you guys as always, and we'll see you next time. As always, Bolts up.